Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Hey, hey, hey. How are we doing, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to the show. Spencer, Joel, and Dennis here with you on this Friday morning. Also, an options expiration day. Fun fact, I didn't remember that, but Dennis and Joel did because they know these things. It is the third Friday of the month, which means options are expiring. So have that on your radar if you have any trades that are going to expire today, or assign you stock or whatnot. Keep that on your radar. So we got earnings, we got news, we got activist stuff from Carl Icahn. We have a new guest today, Tony Pollock from Real Life Trading, which won the show at 8:35, tells his story, what's going on in his trades and then how he approaches the market. So exciting, exciting show. Everyone, do me a quick solid, smash that like button for me, please. Let's get it up to 500 likes today. And before I throw it to Joel, we are T-minus 1 day away. We're like 25 hours away. Did I do my math right? Yes, I did. 25 hours away from the brunch with Pre-Market Prep. Brunch with Joel and Dennis is what I'm calling it now. Saturday, tomorrow, October 16th, premarketprep.com. I'll say it again, premarketprep.com, 9 to 12:30. Dennis, Joel, Rob Friesen. Going in depth on their strategies, not talking about, oh, here's a stock I like for today. No. Teach you to fish to feed you for a lifetime. That's how the saying goes, I think. So there's that. Let's get the charts up on the screen. Joel, good morning. How's your day going so far?
Fantastic.
Okay, great.
I hit the gym.
Whoa.
I hit the gym. I am out of the water for 6 weeks.
Oh,
I am out of the water for 6 weeks.
And so you were at the gym at like 6 a.m.?
Pumping iron.
Wait, is this the gym near me?
Pumping iron.
Yeah.
The best movie ever.
Yeah.
Is this my gym?
No, we joined the fancy one down the street. Oh. Because they have a 5-lane pool, which I can't use for 6 weeks. But yeah, had to change out my workout routine. So now with mad circuit training, I'm probably going to be a beast now. Probably going to have to get some new shirts.
Just fill out those shirts.
I'm telling you, I'm strong, man. I'm telling
that
you.
Chest, doing, puff up that chest.
He's feeling the pump.
They got some new machines doing the side back. I was sweating like a dog, man. But just one good thing. I just want to mention one thing about the event. And for the people that have either signed up for the first event or signing up for the second event, we're going to have something special for you next month. And just a little bit of a teaser. Yes. Yeah. Just a little bit of a teaser. But let's look at the markets first. And oh, no. Dad's saying of the day. Dads love complaining when the grocery store changes its layout.
What do you guys think? Oh, absolutely. I mean, I do that. I'm not a dad, but I
only do the peripheral shopping. I just go around the edge. I never really go through the aisles. I buy all the fresh stuff, and then you got to go back there in like 3 days.
All right,
peripheral shopping. So I don't care. Change the stuff in the middle. Don't matter to me, but don't move that stuff on the outside.
All right, just don't move the maple syrup. Futures.
Long maple syrup.
Hey, Joel, up get, seven. Joel, get Boeing off the screen there.
Oh, I got Boeing on the mind. Up 17 and a quarter handles. Strong close. That 4 p.m. mark really didn't represent the strength. We traded up after hours. We're up pre-market low, 26 and a quarter. I don't know if we'll see that. That's just below the close. And I got no major resistance up here, folks. Really nothing up here till 43.72. And that's not far away based on the average daily range. Crude up 82 cents at 82.13. And yes, crude is challenging the high of the move. I think it's right here. The high of the move. Yeah, it's made a new high of the move. The question will be a double top. 82.18, 82.30. Sure doesn't feel that way.
Why didn't we load up when it was minus $37 a barrel?
It was minus 40.
Was it minus 40?
Because we thought the world was going to end.
I know. And I was trying to get, me and Raz were trying to get the water out of our swimming pools because we were ready to take delivery. It would have paid the bills. I don't know if the liner would have really liked it, but it would have paid the bills. $82 now. Wow.
Yep. And let's see. Gold. Dealing with 1800, just too much, down 19 bucks. 1778.90. Silver slipping, but still in the 23 handle. Silver is down 19.7 cents at 23.85. Bitcoin, they're doing ETFs. Buy Bitcoin. New high of the move.
That's not confirmed, though, is it? They just said the SEC wasn't. So we don't have a Bitcoin ETF confirmed here, do we?
No, we just
have another step towards it.
We have a rumor mill going, and for disclosure, I don't spend a lot of time looking at going out on the futures curve, the time curve, and looking at further month futures. But if you go look at the Bitcoin futures now in November, January, they're trading at a nice hefty premium to the spot price. Bitcoin right now, spot Bitcoin is around $59,000. It's right. It's 59. We'll call it 59.5. That's where Bitcoin's at. That's a spot Bitcoin right now. 59.5. If you go look at November on the futures or January, it's like 61. Right. You get a nice hefty premium there.
Yep.
That's Contango, Dennis.
Good old Contango.
All right, we'll see what happens on that. Ethereum, that's going the opposite way. That's down just a tad.
Wrong my Ethereum. Why is it going down?
It had a big day yesterday. I don't know. I think they're just decoupling here a little bit. It's just a quiet range. Had a big day yesterday, digested it, down 3,800.
Where is it? I haven't looked at it.
Well, the futures, 3,800. I don't know about the cash.
I think this got probably
3,700.
$3,700. There you go.
Yeah,
I think I bought it 2,100. I'm pretty good on that Ethereum so far.
It was
a scary one, though. Remember I bought it on the first dip, and then it bounced like to 27 in like 2 days, and I was like, I'm the best at this crypto trading. And then like a week later, it's back down to 21, and then it went under. I think it went down to like 1,900. I was like, oh, I suck at this. I'm back. All right.
Wait, what's up? No gaps. One thing about the cryptos is, there's no gaps, right? The 24-hour market, you don't have to dig.
That's what they're going to do in the U.S. markets, too. That's what they're
do. That guy for the stock exchange. What was his name? We had him on. He poo-pooed that. What was his name? Your buddy, Spencer, from the stock exchange.
Jay?
Peter?
I don't know.
So, I poo-poo it, too, because I want to sleep. Yeah. So I don't want 24-hour trading. I need to sleep sometimes. Am I ever going to sleep again? My wife isn't going to be pleased when I'm trading 24 hours a day. I'll tell you that much. The kids won't like it either.
Real fast, Ticker Vault in the chat asked if you can short the futures and buy the spot and profit on the spread. Yeah, that's like an institutional thing. Straight.
That's what the big boys
do. That's what the big boys do.
You got carrying costs. You got other things involved. I'm not a crypto trader. I'd have to analyze the reason that doesn't work. And, obviously, is from a practical standpoint, in a lot of cases, is the carrying costs of it all. But, I mean, if you analyze all that, I have never looked at, the futures arb versus, the actual spot on crypto. So maybe there is an opportunity.
There is. And there will be when we get an ETF. And that's why there's so much premium right now. It's because the whispers are as soon as Monday, they're saying, probably not Monday, but a futures ETF.
So is crypto going to go down on Monday when we don't get an ETF? Because well, no, I'm going to tell you,
a futures ETF is coming. We know, we feel like we know this. What we don't know is like a pure Bitcoin spot ETF, that an ETF that actually holds Bitcoin. That's what we don't know if we're going to get yet. But futures, ETF, just like there is the USO, right? It's the same thing, just different asset. It's coming. We don't know when, but maybe probably soon. Probably maybe.
Is it Grayscale? Should we dial up that money?
Well, so there's actually there's multiple firms. There's like three firms that have all filed for the same kind of product, basically. Same Bitcoin futures ETF. So the SEC has those filings and they're set to decide on them. They could approve more than one, I suppose, but it's not Grayscale. No.
All right. Question for Dennis, and I know he's going to get it.
What
stock traded at a level yesterday that it has not seen since February of 2008?
2008 is a clue.
I've got the 6 second goldfish memory. I can't even remember what was down yesterday.
No, it is highest level.
At its highest level?
Yeah.
Since February of 08. Think about
February
that.
February of 08? So I got to think about what got blown up in the tech bubble or the fans.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't tech.
Bank?
Yep.
Bank America?
Yep.
BAC.
Very good.
Moving along here, too. Did we get the Goldman report?
Nope, I'm waiting on it.
Come on, Goldman. What's so slow? 8:30 a lot of times, I think, on Goldman.
Let me check right now.
I think it's going to be 8:30.
Look at this. It's not even at. You think it's going to an all-time high here? I can go back.
They dipped those banks right off the high.
Oh, they
Morgan
did.
Stanley. They're wicked, man. They like hitting every stop in this environment. And we've been talking about that. This is the environment. If you're using stops, you're getting stopped out on everything. It's a tough environment for stops. Because they came down even on the Bank America candle, and they brought that thing quite a bit down. Look at the big candle. It was red, 43, 48. We're like, oh, here we go again. And no. They buy them back up to the highs. Yeah. So Morgan Stanley, everybody's like, this is a great report. Why is it trading down? Kramer's like, why is it trading down? And it turns around and no longer trading down.
Maybe very interesting. Yeah, they came. I know. I think just one – maybe one big seller off the open, or someone was waiting for more follow through. I don't know. But Goldman's not out yet, huh?
No. And I just looked, Dennis. Usually it's out at like 7:20.
Really?
So, yeah, a bit of a delay this morning. Anyway, we have other earnings.
What does that mean? Is that good news or bad news?
I don't know.
Read into that. It's like the briefcase indicator. The Goldman Sachs report is late.
I don't know. We have other earnings, though, we can discuss.
They always beat, usually.
Okay. Yes, they always make like $29 per share.
The big one's Alcoa from last night.
Yeah, Alcoa last night, EPS $2.05 versus $1.79 estimate. Sales 3.1 versus $2.9 billion. And then they gave some pretty strong guidance. Well, they reaffirmed their shipment guidance for the year, but they said there's very, very strong demand for aluminum in all ends of the market. On top of that, they announced a 10-cent per share quarterly dividend and a $500 million buyback. It was a blowout quarter. And basically all they said was demand is strong.
Commodity trade continues to work. This commodity trade has been hot. You've had such a run. You know, is it overdone? Probably. Am I chasing it? No, but it's hard to get off the train. I think if you're on the train, you just keep that trend. They want that trend to stay intact. You can see the wicked little trend since we bottomed in March of 2020, and we've been straight up since then. So as long as that trend stays intact, you're okay.
Ever since they got rid of Klaus Kleinfeld. Remember him, Klaus Kleinfeld?
Yes.
Come on. I think ever since they got rid of him. Hey, Dennis, this is a reverse split. Was it a reverse split?
Well, they had a spinoff of Arconic, too. Arconic. How long was that ago? That was a long time ago.
Two or three,
ARNC.
Three years? Three, four, 5 years?
Well, I don't know if it was that long ago. But ARNC, they had the reverse. They had the spinoff of that. And did they have a reverse split in there?
I don't know. So. I can't remember.
Go Alcoa real long, because I don't think in long.
I don't think they'll show it long
very well. Oh, maybe not. Since that, oh, that's all you got.
Yeah.
I think that's when they spun off ARNC, was back probably 2016, 2017. When the new Alcoa, they broke it up into two companies, and the new Alcoa came. And yeah, there was a whole bunch of, you know, financial engineering going on there. So
I'll keep it easy, simple and easy here.
Well, that's what we like.
52. What are you going to do at 52? You know, you got pre-market high just over there and still bid 51.86, up three sticks, poked your head over 52 a couple times. In fact, the other day, 52.45, you got room up to there. That's been the recent high of the move. So played up to there. That's a lot of gains for Alcoa, but it looks like it's trying to hold in here. 52.45. I wouldn't have a bid out to try and buy it until it got into the lower 50 handle. 50.04 was your high yesterday's session. And just show you how that trick works sometimes. Bank of America opened up 44.37, stalled, came down. The top of the range was 43.64, boom, 43.48, and then turned it around. So when I'm looking on Alcoa can't wait. Can't wait to get over 52.
And then we had JB Hunt this morning. This is sort of.
They should be cranking, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes and no, because we spoke with I'm blanking now. We spoke with XPO Logistics the other day on Power Hour, and they were saying just how insanely busy they are. But at the same time, they're also hindered by
fuel costs,
by supply chains and things like that, and rising labor costs. But anyway, JB Hunt, EPS beat $1.88 versus $1.79. Sales beat 3.14 versus $3.01 billion. So beat and beat. I have not looked at the stock. Oh, there's the stock up on the screen. So it's high. Okay.
Traded at the highs pre-market session, 182. I have if you're getting into this area, 182.18 up to the all-time high at 184.38. Only 3,000 shares have traded. Approaching an all-time high, not buying it up. Where's the bid, Dennis? This thing can't be bid up $6, is it?
It's bid up $6. Bid 182 odd lot right now.
Yeah. Woo! Okay. I throw 184.35 off, 184.38
off. It's pretty tight. It's a buck wide right now. 183.34 is the offer. So they're looking up there. Like, you know, that's why it gets thicker up there. They're looking at that. But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, we got an okay report. Again, you know, if you're chasing moves here, I still think you're on the wrong side of the trade. So, I mean, just as much as everybody was bearish 2 days ago, they're bullish today. I think they're backwards. I think you got an options expiration. You got a two-day move, which is nice. You know, nice follow-through from the previous day's move, which is not unpredictable. We've talked about that strategy on this show a lot of times, too. You get a big move. Everybody comes home from their day job, sees the big move, and says, I want to get in stocks and get the follow-through the next day. Usually that follow-through the next day is a selling opportunity. But, you know, here we are. We're up 120 handles from where we were 2 days ago. And that's over half of the move from the entire last month. So, again, you know, I've been saying long term, I think we're going to make new all-time highs by the end of the year. But I'm not buying on a day that, you know, we just ran 120 points in 2 days. So I'll wait for the pullback again, because I think it'll probably give me another chance. Just as much as your gold trade, Spencer, you're like, did I miss it? Hey, look, you didn't miss it. You get another chance again.
I had a feeling this was coming today.
Keeps on giving. Giving chances.
Yeah. No, you were right. I thought you were probably right, and you were.
Chris is asking, have I done anything other than buy a dip and sell the rip for the last month? The answer is no. That is what I'm doing continuously, and you know what? I'm getting paid for it. So I'll continue to do it until it doesn't work. I will say this year, because there's a lot of people who are really, you know, saying how I say everything wrong. I'll just say my P&L speaks for itself. This trading year is my top trading year. Well, last year was pretty good too, but I'm on track to possibly beat last year. So last two trading years are my best two trading years in 12 years. So the trading environment has been excellent. And you know, I like fading. I love the type of market that, you know, is forgetful and just goes up and down, up and down. So you know why? Because nobody else, long-term investors are going nowhere. But if you're trading, your P&L is going up. So you are relatively getting better off than everybody else in that environment.
Well, just a little promo here. If you want to learn a little bit more about how Dennis Dick trades, come on over tomorrow.
The voice
the 16th.
Premarketprep.com.
Yep. And it, you know, the thing too is that you give I could tell, like I could just tell in your voice, like I'm looking at the chat and, you know, the little, you know, they're like, you know, the little needlers out there, you know, they write stuff down that we said like 6 months ago and they got a whole stack of things.
They're going to write down, because if you don't like us and you're in the media, you got people like you, you got people that don't like you. I mean, Kramer has so many haters, you know, I'm like 1% of that. But, you know, I still have, you know, people reach out to me every single day to tell me exactly what I said wrong. I mean, if you make 10, 15 calls on the show, the odds are you're not going to be right on all 10 or 15. You're probably, like I said, if you're batting 52% here, if you are like a casino and you have an edge that's 52%, you will make money in this market in the long run. So all I got to be right is more than I'm wrong. And you know what? If you're actually cutting your losers, you can probably be wrong more than you're right.
More than you could be right.
This market. Yeah. I mean, we're going to say stuff that's right. We're going to say stuff that's wrong. We're trying to make calls. We're trying to give trading ideas. We're trying to give some strategy as well. But we're not going to be right all the time. But I've got the haters out there that write down every single thing I say.
I know.
And then they're quick to point out everyone that I do wrong. They never say what I get right. Like, if I was listening to some of these Twitter followers, they'd be just like, you know, you'd think you lose on every single trade. They're like, the one guy, I had to actually block him. I never block anybody on Twitter, but he was tweeting at me twice a day to let me know exactly what I said wrong today. He says, you're the best contrarian indicator in the world. I just do exactly opposite to what you say and I make money. I was like, that's amazing. I mean, the market must just be printing money because I'm making this year, I'm making money this month, I'm making money this week, but somehow the person on the other side of my trade is making money too. Everybody wins.
It's a kind of environment.
Part of it's human nature. I mean, we all focus more on the negatives that could be our own too. Like we focus more on, like, the losses hurt more than the wins feel good, right? So we focus more, we complain more about the negatives, even if you're right 7 out of 10 times.
Do you know that no one on Twitter
more about the three than you
for
do
sure.
No one on Twitter's ever lost money.
No, they all.
No, they never won money.
I mean, if you're on Twitter, you don't. I mean, that's the thing too. And I'm getting to the point where, I mean, I'm keeping my stock, I'm keeping my account, but I just, and I know you say I overdo it with the fakes and the bots and everything, but there is so much BS in fake people out there. And you can tell they're just like algorithms and they're just coming up with, like, you know, just thousands of trades. Oh, this, I said this. And oh, I'm not watching this today because I'm at my pool and my Maserati's getting delivered at 4 o'clock. Like, okay, you're fake. You're not a real person.
All
you know?
Maybe
that's what our problem is, Dennis, is maybe we're too real. Maybe we admit our mistakes. You know, maybe we should just be fake.
No one's realer than usual.
We should be fake.
All right, wait. So we will cover Goldman Sachs when it's out. Oh, wait a minute. No, yeah, it's not out yet. So
Duncan, Dave, you're not a bot. I know you're not a bot, Dave.
All right.
We have a lot of people giving us love in the chat too.
Okay.
We like everyone. We need to keep the
No,
the
we don't like everyone.
Us, like, keep us honest too.
We don't like everyone.
Okay, Virgin Galactic, we'll go back to Goldman when it comes out. Space, Virgin Galactic has adjusted their timeline a little bit. They, as a result of that, they have delayed the launch of their commercial flights to Q4 of next year. They just said they found something that needed a little bit more assessment and more refurbishing, and so delaying the eventual space flights of paying customers for it wasn't even delayed by that long, honestly. The thing was delayed. It's supposed to go in Q2 or Q3. Now they just delayed to Q4. So not even like the biggest
delay. How could you invest in this company? I mean,
I
went
for a bet.
I know you did. You liked the story. You liked the story.
Yeah,
but
the story is ice cold now, just like space. It's ice cold up there. Joel, here's my problem, and this is why after that flight, and I said it on that show, you know, back in June when we had the successful flight, I was tweeting it out that was possibly going to be the topping event. The thing that I didn't like about it was I did not know you were going to only be up in space for 90 seconds. You know, same thing with Blue Origin. I mean, you're going to pay 360 grand. Some people are paying it to get, you know, that 90 seconds. Put me up there. Put me in orbit. Put me, you know, make something, you know, so I'm up there for 90 minutes. I can really enjoy the experience. All I'm getting is, you know, the crazy rocket ship ride. And then I get to get out of my seat for literally 3 minutes, look out the window a little bit, and then it's over. I need, you know, I think for $360,000, I need to get you up there and get you in orbit. Like, I don't know if that's possible, but, you know, you orbit around the Earth like the International Space Station does in 90 minutes. I mean, that'd be a trip. So I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed. I didn't know they were going to, like, I guess you just got to logically think about it. Maybe it's not that easy to do to put you in orbit, but 90 seconds just isn't that long up there to see it for $360,000. So that's what turned me off. With that being said, the stock is epically, massively oversold. It has been hated for the last 3 months from basically $58 all the way down to $20 now. Is this a capitulation event? I mean, I never buy stocks making new lows, and it's making a new low on the move. But you do have memory in this 16 to 20 area, because this is where we were in April, May, June, July 2020. We were there in October 2020. Back in April, we got back down to 14, 16. I think there's all kinds of memory from 15 to 20 on this stock. Maybe if you're buying a 20, maybe you're early. I have no position in it. I've been out of it for a long time. I think there's probably a bounce opportunity in here somewhere. It's a tough one to call. Maybe you wait till stops going down. But then in some cases, you know, they only give you the one shot and then just starts bouncing like Domino's Pizza yesterday. That must have been another bad call by me, because it was down $20. And I said, I think they buy this dip. I said it twice on the show, but I was wrong. They bought the dip, but I guess I was wrong. Somebody will point that out. But anyways, DP Zebra ended up closing green yesterday. I'm not saying space is going to do that. I don't think there's a chance it closes green here. But is it oversold? It is.
How much cash do they have?
I think they've got, you know, the prepays. I don't think they got a cash problem here. I don't think it's like going under, Joel. I just think, is this really got, you know, one, the valuation's probably excessive.
What's going to turn it up? What, I mean, after they, oh, well, now, I mean, are they going to come out and say the opposite? Like, oh, now we're going to be in the middle of 22.
Maybe 500, instead
of the end of 22.
$550 million in cash on the balance sheet. That's not nothing.
I don't know.
They're okay. I mean, I like Dennis's comment, put me in orbit.
$15.
Put me in orbit. I'm buying the space one that puts you in orbit. Like, gives you the 90 minutes. Like, you get out of the ship, you know? Like, and you start around in the spacesuit. That'd be cool.
I wonder if it's hard for the stewardess to serve cocktails on those. Because everything's flying around.
Like, interestingly enough, the other space, Astra, right? ASTR is trading higher on this news, which I guess would make sense. I don't know. Would it make sense?
I don't know.
If it wasn't for this show, I would never look at these stocks. Think about them at all.
Joel,
seriously,
be done looking at these stocks.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. If it wasn't for you guys and wanting my technical wizardry, which is if you do the opposite, you'll make tons of money.
You can tell we're all worked up here by the haters. We got to stop thinking about the haters.
These stocks are all bots. I'm going to channel Joel. These stocks are bots. They're not real. Next.
Right, GS out. Do we got GS out? Someone says.
GS
out.
It's up. Oh. It's up $6.
Don't forget
is it,
guys.
Not out yet?
You guys keep looking at the tourism. It's all about satellites.
Well, give me a satellite play.
Give us a satellite story then.
Maxar. The one I've been calling.
I know you've been calling Maxar.
For like years now.
The problem is it's come back down now, Mitch. So do we
look
still
at that
like
30 mark?
Trend? 30. Just love got it. Back love above it. Institutional mark. Accumulation. Look at that.
30 mark.
Yep. You like Maxar here? Do you still own it?
Well, I've traded this one.
I trade it too. I'm in and out of it sometimes, but I haven't had it for a while in the long-term portfolio. I kind of want to rebuy it.
I mean, here's on that 30. Yeah. Yep. That's
okay. Wait. Can we go back to Goldman for a second?
Let's do it.
All right, because Goldman's out. They print money as usual. Earnings per share $14.93 versus a $10.11 estimate. That's a low estimate. Sales 13.6 versus $11.6 billion. So a beat and a beat.
What else did they come out with? Equities trading revenue was higher, and IB revenue higher than expected. Yeah, I mean, the stock is higher. So I don't know. It took a while.
I know nothing. Okay. Goldman.
I don't know. I just thought, you know what? That actually might be the lowest EPS.
Now I know what we're
saying. Let me check in the calendar here. That might be the lowest EPS in a minute. Yeah.
We're trading 398. We got anything at 398? Anything worthy? Yeah. 97.85, 398. That's my number.
Okay.
97.85, October 7th high. You just traded over it. You're back off a buck off that. 398, above 398. You're carding up 400. Next daily high after that is 404.21.
All right. We just got retail sales and they weren't bad. That's all you need to know there.
Let's what go about on the to... Empire State Index?
Sure.
Oh, that looks bad. 19.8 versus 26.5.
Okay.
That's what I just saw. What a meaningless data. But anyways, let's see what Goldman can get above.
I saw SPY go 30 cent wide and I canceled everything because I was like, do we have a number? Whenever you see SPY go 30 cent wide, you're like, oh, is something happening here? Did I miss something?
Oh, look at this. You got halfway back, too, on this move, right at 397, 398. So that number's good. It's good not only for today, but it's good for the next 6 months.
Joel's been wondering for a while now, what is Carl Icahn been up to? Well, now we know.
Carl!
He's been doing his DD on Southwest Gas, ticker SWX, published a letter yesterday being like, hey, open notice to all SWX shareholders. We're coming, okay? We are going to initiate a tender offer and a proxy fight. We want some people on the board. And
that's the Uncle Carl we know.
Yeah.
Always putting out those fake offers.
Tender offer at $75 a share.
Yeah, he always does that. That's the way his strategy was for those just starting like 6-7 years ago when he was a younger. He'd come out twice a year. He'd be long the stock. He's like, I'll buy the whole company for 5 points higher. And then the stock would pop up. But he's just kind of shooting his mouth off more than anything.
Yeah.
None of it usually. He actually has bought some companies. So he can do it. But he's always. And who is the other one? Remember the Best Buy CEO, Joel, that kept doing that too? Best Buy Schultz?
Yeah. Yeah. Charles Schultz.
He'd come out when the stock was going down. He's like, I'll buy the whole company for $20. The stock's at 15. And then it'd pop up and then it'd go down like 13, and I would buy the whole company for 18. He ended up being right. Let's buy another. He should have bought the whole company. He'd make some money.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, you got to pop a little move coming off the low of the move, and man, with gas, and I don't know. This has not exactly been moving with natural gas, but $72. I mean, I don't know if Carl has any offers out there at 72, but
somehow I doubt
what
it.
What are you implying?
I should have said
Joel.
That. Spencer, can you take – I should not say that about Carl.
Yeah, Uncle Carl wouldn't like you saying that.
72.
He's not coming on the show if you say that. Have we ever tried to get Carl Icahn on the show?
Hasn't Brent talked to Carl?
Brent has spoken on the phone to Carl, yes.
We should be able to get Uncle Carl on the show.
Yeah.
You know who I saw?
It's been a minute.
You know who I saw on TV the other day?
No.
Herb Greenberg.
Herb was on there. He actually was moving that one stock too. Herb's good. I follow Herb on Greenberg. Herb's good. He was pitching what stock? GoodRx. And it popped big time on his pitch. GDRX. Look at the big move. Herb's a mover and a shaker.
We can get Herb back.
No, you can't. Herb tried to get us fired.
No,
he's good. Was, you don't say anything bad about Herb.
That
Joel.
Was 5 years
Herb,
ago.
Joel.
Okay.
No, he didn't. You did it, Joel. It was your fault.
No, it wasn't, Spencer. I'll take the blame on this story.
We like I'll Herb. Take the blame. I follow Herb. He actually follows me too. We like
Herb. It was Dylan Wittenberg.
It was the intern's fault, but I was overseeing the intern, so I'll take the blame.
Sent to Joel, he ended up saying the company's name wrong. And that sucks when somebody, you come on and you say your company's name wrong.
It was posted
It would piss
wrong.
Me off too. So you know what? We don't know whose fault it was. Maybe it wasn't our fault, but we got the blame for it.
We can get her back.
We'll get her back. I like her. I actually do. I really do like Herb Greenberg. Even though he was a little mad at us when he was mad at you because you got the name wrong.
It wasn't mad at me. No, like he called Jason right after the show, and then Jason.
He's
fired
good.
Us.
Okay, that's we're not going to go into politics.
He fires us too much, though. That's
Herb's
not
good.
Right.
All right, let's. Hey, it's 8:35. Let's bring on today's guest. Let's bring some sanity to this show. Tony Pollock, new guest from Real Life Training. I see him here in the background.
Does he have a beard?
Tony,
man, I'm working on my newsome beard. It's coming. Maybe another 20 years.
Nice.
It might take you a minute.
Got the Real Life Training shirt on, ready to rock and roll. Representing.
This is my life, man. I don't have pants on, but I got the RL shirt every morning. We're ready to play. So I'm just messing.
I don't think Dennis ever wears pants, so it's okay.
No, I just wear pajama pants.
That's the life everyone dreams of. Let's be honest. Yeah. That's the goal.
All right, so, Tony, tell us about your training. Tell us about your strategy and sort of how you look at things here.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Yeah, man. First off, thanks for having me on. Yeah. I'm with Real Life Trading. I'm a mentor and coach there. So I lead the day trading class. Every morning, talk about the setups, talk about how to day trade, but I specialized in option selling. That's what I do. So, Real Life Trading is a stock market education company. We've been around for years and years, and I love your conversation today because there is so much fake out there, right? There is so much Lamborghini roll up. This is, you can just make $1 million with a $3,000 account and let's do this thing. Just pay me 10 grand and I'll show you. Real life trading is real life, right? So you're going to get on, you're going to watch my screen, you're going to watch me day trade with a 55% win rate, which means you're going to see me lose all the time, but I'm going to be profitable.
So there you go. And you track that 55% win rate, and that's a great win rate for the industry. So there's no 90. If you got 90% win rate, it means you're not taking your losers and you're sitting on all those things hoping for the stock to come back.
Exactly.
And eventually those 10% of losers are going to be really, really big. So you can have a 90% win rate. But those losers you have are going to be huge.
Yeah, man. And that's what makes my strategy really special, too, is because I sell credit spreads. When you're selling options, you can hit those 80, 90% because I'll show you why. I'll show you how. But day trading, anytime you're going a long direction, it requires you to be perfect on the timing and perfect on the direction. Right? If it doesn't go up, you're not going to win. And that's why professional traders are hovering around that 50%. It's just a matter of controlling your risk and making your money. right? When letting those winners win to offset your losses. So yeah, Real Life Trading, we're a stock education company, been around for a long time, pride ourselves in being authentic and real. You can pull up our website, check out our trade results and see our win rates. So
tell us about your strategy.
Yeah, my strategy, man. Well, with that, I guess for 30 seconds, I'll tell you why I made this strategy. So I was one of those people that kind of knew what I was doing in the market. And I was like, you know what? I'm quitting my job and I'm trading full time. Let's do this thing. So I took $30,000 already. It's like, oh no, you know the story. Took $30,000, quit my good job. And I was like, let's do this thing. But for the first time in my life, I had to make like $5,000 at the end of the month to pay my bills. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I would take a loss and I'm like, all right, well, I got to double down now. And I got to try to make, I got like $6,000 now. And I just fell apart. Yeah. I blew up my account. We were burning through savings about 6 months into this. And we legit hit zeros across the board in our bank account. We were in Walmart and one bill ran, it overdrafted into our savings and we were done. My wife's like, Tony, you get a job or you figure this out. So I crawled to the bank like that day. I begged them for money. They gave me $15,000. Right. And I don't recommend doing this, but this is what I did. And I was like, I have to find a way to start making money in this or I'm back to a real job. So I developed a plan around credit spreads and it was a short-term plan. And that week I made $1,000 and I was like, holy crap, finally. The next week I made $1,500 and I averaged about $1,500 with that $15,000 account for the next year and a half. Every week.
That's impressive.
I was doubling my account on average every 2 to 3 months. And that strategy has held those results ever since. So I average anywhere on my low end 300% to the high end about 600% ROI each year with this strategy. So it's become my mission now that I've joined Real Life Trading to teach this strategy to as many people as we can, right? But my goal is to have 100 people replace their salary this year. I'm at about 85, 84.
Well, that's incredible.
So I'm close. And I have a masterclass that we just came out with, just recorded it last week. And I'll get into charts here. I want to explain a few setups that we did this week and then a few that I'm looking at for next week. I would love to go over the charts and show everyone how to do this, give everyone a free, you know, little few second thing. I don't know, have a ton of time. But yeah, my strategy is based off of a shorter term length credit spread that has very specific rules, very defined risk, and a very strong hedging plan. So if I am wrong, I'm able to turn that loser into a winner. So yeah, that's basically how I've been making my money. That's how I've been paying my bills. I'm still a full-time trader, and this is still the strategy that I use to pay my bills every single month.
Can you set up a trade, just an example for us, Tony?
Like, yeah, let's do it. Let me share my screen real quick.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Set up a trade because we're mostly equity traders here, stock traders. I used trade options 15 years ago. I don't trade them as much as I used to. So set this up because we have a lot of option traders in that chat room.
Yeah, let me see if I can't get my, there we go. Let's do this thing. So I'm going to go over a few spreads that we did this week. Okay. Or this one actually started last week on the SPX. We are about to hit payday today. Honestly, our targets are going to be hit this morning. On a pullback down into here, we sold the 4,200, 4,190 bull put spread. Again, you can see my clear alert level. So my strategy is based off of location on charts and using price action to our benefit. So I can use this higher low here. I can use this strong support to gauge sentiment. If we break lower, I can hedge and offset my losses. If we hold this support, I can now, you know, I make money on it. And the cool thing with credit spreads, if you were to buy calls down here, it has to go up, right? It has to go up to make money. With credit spreads, as long as it stays above this area, I make money. Stay above my sold strike on a bull put spread. So it could go lower and I make money. It can just hang out sideways and I make money. It can go up and I make money. And that's what gives me that 90% win rate. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to not be dead wrong, right? And I do lose on these, by the way, all right? I don't have 100% win rate, but it's
so when you lose, how much are you losing? How do you cut those losers? So because this is what I see everybody do wrong in the options world, and it's been a very decent environment if you're doing just on the bullish side because we've been in a straight up market for basically a decade. But if you go back and if you want to see a different environment for this strategy, if you go back to 2006 and 2007, this strategy epically failed during the financial crisis. How do you not allow that to happen if we got into an actual market that started to fall significantly?
Yeah, for sure. So when I lose, so I'll, on average, I'll string about 20 winners together and I'll have about two or three losses at the most. And then I'll string about another 20 because I lose when the market drastically changes direction. So let's say on Monday, this market gaps down to 4,200 on the SPX. We just rampage lower. I'm going to lose on the spread. But unless you're holding it till expiration, that's the only time you're going to lose max loss. So for me, I have a hedging plan in place, but if I'm not able to hedge, I'm going to lose about 30 to 35% of my max loss, right? So I'm able to lose small simply based off of math because this bull put spread also has a long put in it that helps slow down that loss that I'm, because it's actually gaining value as it goes lower. It's not offsetting what that short strike is losing. So I'm going to lose about 30 to 35% around my sold strike, and that's where I'm out. I don't hold below my sold strike. I have very specific rules of what to do if it gets down there, right? So I'm going to lose about 35%. So I will lose when the market makes drastic changes. Okay. One of my rules are I only sell with the trend. So if we get below the 60 EMA on a weekly, I'm doing bear call spreads now. So I'm waiting for big dip lower, big dips down, and then I'm waiting for the retest back up to a resistance. And then I'm selling up above, again, using resistances to help me to hedge, give me something to read sentiment against, so that I know when I need to hedge and when I'm wrong. And then writing this thing back down lower, and I just do it again, right? So that's what I would do. When the market decides to reverse and go lower, I will get my butt kicked on that initial change. That's normally what happens. And if you look at my trade journal, so again, you go to reallifetrading.com/credit-spreads-live, you'll see a chance to sign up. I teach a full masterclass, walk through every detail of how to do my strategy. But you can click here and download my trade log, and it'll show you all of my trades, my official trades. These aren't all of my trades, but the numbers are exactly, I mean, this is probably about 70% of the trades I've taken over the last few years. It'll show you every setup, every sold strike I've done, and an example screenshot. So if this is too good to be true, I mean, you can see my results. You'll notice that in March, markets kind of change. February, I'm hitting some losses. And then you string together quite a few wins. These losses were almost break-even losses for my hedge. So, and then been working around, we're up 437% ROI this year. So you'll see, again, it's not 100% win rate. Nothing is. But
Tony, there's a few questions here from the chat. I guess try to remember a bunch of them because chat's moving fast here. But what is your delta?
I sell based off of mainly charts, mainly supports and resistances. I will usually always be below a 25 delta when I sell. That's pretty consistent with that.
How many trades a week are you putting on?
An aggressive trader, you can expect to probably do about 10 trades a week. This is about the setups that are there in this current environment. Back in 2020, when Ivy was through the roof, there were so many setups your account couldn't handle it, right? So I would say on a good week, I'm usually averaging about 10 setups, 10 trades a week. On a slower week, it's anywhere from 2 to 5 on a slower week. And then if the IV is low, I'll start to go out a little bit further. I'll go out a month or two, and I'm always having something on paying my bills, right? It's just those I'll have to wait a little bit longer on, and I have different rules for those. Again, the masterclass will teach you all my short-term stuff, all my long-term stuff, how to hedge them, all that good stuff. But yeah, that's how many trades I have on. And I average on a good week, I average about 10% ROI each week. On a slower month, I average about 10% ROI a month. So
Is it mostly weeklies you're selling?
That was a nice question, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I have a strategy. It is a lot of the weeklies. Yeah. In my strategy, I have my short-term stuff, which is 2 weeks or less. So I'm either selling the current week with very specific rules, or I sell 2 weeks out. Again, with some specific rules. And then the rest of my spreads are around 30 days, 15 to 30 days on average, especially this year with the IV dropping off. It's been a lot more in that 15 to 30 day range that I've been selling.
What type of trader would you say is this strategy right for in terms of account size, in terms of ability to babysit and spend time in front of the screen, risk tolerance and all that?
Yeah, for sure. Awesome questions. account size, you're looking at, I recommend $5,000 usually on the low end. You can go lower than that, but I'd say $5,000 account. Pattern day trading rule, I'm not day trading these, so you don't have to stress too much about that. Most of my students have about a $10,000 account. And like I said, they average about 10% of that a week with that $10,000 account. So they're making about $1,000 a week on that small of account, which is insane. Amazing. But it could be a relatively small account. It doesn't have to be $100,000 to make those results. Like I said, I was making $1,500 with about a $15,000 account each week. So, and that's held true. That strategy pretty much keeps going. Let's see. For you need to have a basic understanding of knowledge of options, right? Too intense. As long as you know what a put and call are. There's tons of free videos out there. You guys do a great job just with market sentiment and all that stuff. You need to understand how the markets work, but don't feel like you have to be like a master and super profitable trader to do this. If you can understand how the markets are, learn this strategy, apply it. You can paper trade it. You can do it with one account if you want. Start out small is what I recommend. It's geared towards anyone that is looking for a little bit more freedom in life, but to replace their salary. Honestly, I spend about 2 to 3 hours a week finding setups on this strategy. And then the rest of the time I have alerts. I have an indicator that comes along with the masterclass as well. That'll alert you when a setup is there based off of a specific parameter. And so that alert will go off. You can go and set it up on your phone if you want, whatever you want to do. So my whole point with this was to provide freedom, right? My last job, I worked 70 hours a week every week. Yeah. I helped run a family business. And I was like, I'm done working for money. I'm done spending my life working, right? So the last thing I wanted to do was have another full-time job in trading. I wanted to trade full-time, but not a full-time job in trading. So this strategy, again, requires probably a couple hours a week, and you don't babysit it at all. In fact, it's better if you don't even look at it. Because like I said here on my screen, is you win as long as it stays above your sold strike. You win. So who cares if a big old scary bear candle comes in up here? This is where most people freak out. And if you're watching it, you freak out. But you forget that you win as long as it stays above this buy expiration. So this has got 2 weeks to break tons of massive supports. And by the way, we have a hedge plan in place in case it does. So you can offset your loss.
It's a hedge plan that is key. It's that hedge plan, because you do see this, you know, in other traders that are just right, you know, naked putts, naked putts, naked putts. Yeah. And that works awesome. But it's that hedge plan that is key, because you will get into market environments. You will make a bad call, and you don't want to let that, you know, one, you know, all of a sudden you're on the wrong side, and you let that, you know, small loss become a bigger loss. But it's that hedge plan that is key.
Exactly. And it is in controlling your emotions, being okay with taking the loss. And it doesn't matter what strategy you do. If you can't manage your risk and if you can't control your emotions, you're not going to be profitable, right? This strategy is incredibly successful, but you can find a way to screw it up. My strategy means getting out around my sold strike, taking that 30% max loss, 30% of my max loss, right? So if I risked $5,000, I'm going to lose $1,500. If you're not okay with that and you say, well, maybe it'll bounce, and you turn that $1,500 into a $4,000 loss, well, now, instead of making, I can make up $1,500 in a week, right? And a couple credit spreads. But if you blow up and lose $4,000, that might be a whole, you know, 3-4 weeks of making up one loss when you should have made that back in a couple days, a couple trades, maybe a week, and back into the green again. So controlling your emotions, controlling your risk, the strategy will walk you through all of it, but it still requires you to have an understanding of the markets, a basic understanding, and control your emotions like any other strategy out there in the markets.
And just before I let you go Tony, just give this. So reallifetrading.com, which course is it that you're doing?
Yeah, this is a masterclass. We actually just taught it last week live.
Okay.
And you can purchase the recordings. So they're in the process of being edited right now. So you'll get the raw footage right now. You're welcome to purchase it next week. We'll have everything. And it's not going to be really edited on the content. It's mainly going to be broken up so that you're like, oh, I want to remember how you talked about hedging. So you can easily find the hedging instead of having to watch the whole video. So that edit will be coming out this coming week.
Is it the hedging with options, or is it the...
It's different. No, it's actually the credit spread masterclass. So RLT credit spreads is what it's called.
Okay.
Website for that is reallifetrading.com/credit-spreads-live. And the course is $495. Last week, my average student made over $1,000 the week after the masterclass. So we've already got tons of people. They've already paid back this. My whole point of this was I want to be able to, in three credit spreads for you, if you're doing the smallest of size, in just a handful of credit spreads, be able to make back your investment. This wasn't meant to break the bank. I truly, again, in my mission, I want people to enjoy that change that the market's bringing. It's possible with the right strategy, as long as you can control your emotions, follow the plan, don't go outside
right,
of it,
right,
and stick with it. But yeah, RLT, we're growing like crazy, right? We've got RLT Australia, Denmark now. UK has their free week October 25th, so you can guys hit those up. Free week for RLT UK.
Didn't realize you guys were international. You've gone global.
We've gone global, man. Yeah. It's exploding. Once people realize how authentic, you know, this company is, Jeremy Newsom built it. You can look him up. He's one of the
we know person. Jeremy. He's been coming on for a long time. Big fans. Tony Pollock, realifetrading.com. Thanks a lot for coming on today, man. Got some great feedback in the chat.
Thanks so much, man.
All right. Hey, it's 8:53, and I saw people asking about Marcus. Marcus, apparently, as was communicated to me, is overextending himself. Can't come on the show right now, is what I was told. When he can come on, I will tell you. Or maybe I just won't tell you. Maybe I'll just surprise you one day.
Just but,
we have an open dialogue with Marcus, but that's all I can say is he's. I hope he can come on, but
Let's talk some stocks. We'll do a few minutes. Let's do a few minutes of ticker time, and then obviously we're going to promo our big educational event for tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll do some. So drop your tickers in. Let's go. Someone asked earlier in the chat, but they dropped us a 10 spot, and I think Wall Street Viking. Can you clarify what the ticker was there? Were you talking about? It was like ProJD, right? It was PROG, I think. Is that the one you're talking about? I'm not quite sure, though. So
I don't want to do the wrong stock.
Wall Street Viking, clarify your ticker for us, because I'm not quite sure what you're referring to there. Okay, more tickers in chat. Moderna. We should hit on that. Thank you, RX. Moderna is trading higher because they got the okay on their booster shot.
So it's not that easy for Moderna because now you have an overhead supply issue. I still like the company. It's been a valuation issue for me, which is why I haven't owned it. 350 though was old support. That becomes new resistance. You're only $10 away from there. I think it struggles to get through there. I wouldn't be a buyer of the rip. Next.
Okay.
We'll just keep going back and forth. We don't have much time.
We're going quick here.
Joel, this is yours.
Oh, we want to go look at Western Union. That's one we haven't seen
is
for Joel a while.
There? Or we lose Joel.
No, he's here.
Joel, WU.
Joel, he's on mute. Joel, you're on mute.
WU. Sorry about that. The old mute trick. Western Union is still around, huh? Let's take a look.
We're nice ticker time. Go.
What? Wow, 1-4. I did you. Hold on. Oh, that messed me up. We'll see what happens above 21 here. Several big highs. Level. Breaks above 21. You got some room to go. Very clear on the chart.
Big level.
Okay, AMC, we talked about that yesterday. Bunching up. I think it's still bunching up.
Had a nice day yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah,
42 resistance.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Thoughts on any of the crypto miners, Marrow or Riot?
Well, they both got buy ratings today. So, and they have been in the gutter. So it's not surprising that they actually are showing some life here. I had a couple day trade or overnight trades on. I had an overnight trade on Riot. I've already sold it, so I can freely talk about it now. I bought it off the rating. So around $1. I mean, it could actually, these are in the gutter. So maybe this gives it a vote of confidence. Obviously, Bitcoin trading higher too doesn't hurt.
45. You're over 45. That's a breakout on the monthly. See, stay above.
And Riot, I was talking, was in the gutter. But Riot's showing some life here.
Yeah, Riot has not performed, huh?
Yeah, why? I wonder why.
I don't know.
The company's close enough, but you got a complete separation. I used to pair trade these things together, and it hasn't been working as well lately because Riot's not going up, but Mara is. So there's some separation happening there.
What about Monster? This thing was a monster for a while. It's falling out of favor now.
Probably margins here. I mean, you know, input costs, so which we've talked about. There's a lot of food and beverage companies that are getting squeezed with the higher inflation and the input costs. I'm not sure if that's an issue for Monster, but when I look at this chart, that's what I think.
You better hold here. You're going to get a look at your March 21. Ooh, the March of 21. Oh, 82.96. Just hanging out on monthly support and not getting away from it.
Let's just look at PROG because this is the one that we got a 10 spot for.
PROG.
Yeah.
PROG.
They got a buy rating yesterday from H.C. Wainwright. So maybe that was it.
I feel like I traded this stuff, some insider buys in the last like couple months. I feel like I've traded this a couple of times. I don't know anything about the company, but I feel like I bought it for some reason. I'm wondering if there was some insider buys, but you know what? It's got some life going at least. You know, the overall trend is still not your friend. I don't know what the reason is. It's run from $1 to $2. So I don't follow the company. I'd say as long as you're above like $1.94, the bulls are still in control here, but you are bunching up. And you don't want to start seeing it get into that, you know, that that candle from the 11th because it was up really fast. So you want to see it stay above the low after that. So when I'm trading something, kind of got like a flag going on, you want the stock to trade, stay above the lows from the previous days. So you want it to stay above $1.94. Below $1.94 would be a concern.
Inside day, two lower highs. You want to bust that. The support, Dennis mentioned 190 to 2. As far as like any politics or anything going on with the company, I don't know. But inside day yesterday.
2 minutes left from the show, guys.
2 minutes.
Go ahead. Tell the people why they need to go to brunch with you tomorrow.
Well, it's our educational event. Bring it back on. You go to premarketprep.com to sign up, and it's trading from relationships. We've got me, we've got Joel, we've got Rob Friesen, who is he's the president of Bright Trading, company I trade stocks for, and he's going to be talking relationship-based trading as well, basket trading, different stuff. I'm going to be talking. I put both of my presentations together. It's all new material. I've got them together. I've put them together in the last few days. So I've got a number of topics I'm talking about. I'm going to be jumping into risk arbitrage, which is merger deals. I'm going to be talking different types of arbitrage. I'm going to be talking classic pairs trading. So if you don't understand it, we'll start with the basics. I'll talk to you about evolving and some dynamic pairs, changing relationships. And then I'm even going to talk social media stocks and their influence, what they've had some influence, you know, on these relationships. And then also just talking social media stocks in general and telling you, you know, about the boom and the bust and looking at high short interest stocks and, you know, how you can play these trends. So always looking at relationships, not so much directional bets. So if you're one of those people that are trying to say, I think the stock is going this way, I think it's going this way, a professional trader isn't worried about where they think it's going. They're worried about the relationship. Is this stock priced correctly to where it should be relative to this stock? And there are a lot of relationships out there right now, you know, like GNOG and obviously DKNG. DKNG is buying GNOG. If you bring up those two charts, they are virtually identical. But there are times, especially on an options expiration Monday, where those prices can deviate from each other in the short term. As a professional, you're trying to take advantage of those deviations. So you're struggling with directional betting. I mean, this is, you know, maybe, you know, a good, you know, alternative to look at, because I trade what's called market neutral. I'm not betting on direction. I'm betting on pricing inefficiencies becoming efficient again.
What time? Someone asked in the chat. 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, 24 hours from right now. Can you believe it? 9 a.m.
Premarketprep.com. Just go there. So people are continuing to ask for the link. So if you go to premarketprep.com, you will see the banner. Click it. You can sign up. It's $99, and you get me, Joel, and we'll be answering questions too. So we're going to be doing a lot of Q&A as well. So, and Rob, I've learned a lot from, you know, Rob Friesen's been one of my mentors for a long time. You can learn a lot from Rob Friesen as well.
All right.
I'm going to teach everything I taught Dennis the first year at the Bright office. So we may be we may be here in time. And then also some stuff that I've obviously picked up over the years. A little bit, you know, I focus on the technical end. Just trying to make the technicals a little bit easier to understand. I know there's a lot of sophisticated, you know, trading, you know, moving averages and stuff, but just keeping it simple. And also just some trading ideas, some trading patterns that seem to hold up over the, you know, the test of time. So looking forward to it. And as always, we'll be answering questions. Rob will have his strategies, and looking forward to it. It should be fun working on a Saturday.
people are saying they can't be there. I've had multiple people reach out to me. They can't be there tomorrow. You will receive a recording of it. If you sign up for the first one, you're going to get a recording. Email Joel at benzinga.com. He will send you the recording. These are recorded events. So if you can't see it live, you will get the recording. We only send out the recording to people who obviously paid and their emails verified that they paid.
All right, Joel and I will be Joel. I hope to join you later on at the close.
Okay.
At Pre-Market Prep YouTube channel. If I'm not on the stream for the cannabis conference, but Joel is going to go live Pre-Market Prep right now. Dennis, have a good rest of your day. I got to end this show because it's day
two.
Yeah,
the cannabis and
the cannabis
and options expiration.
I'll cover the price action that we missed and all these issues. I'll join you guys over at premarketprep.com.
All right. I got to wrap it up. It's cannabis, day two of the Cannabis Capital Conference, coming up live right now from New York City. We're going to the stream. I'll be back on the stream in like an hour and 40 minutes for a quick break. But day one was fantastic, and we have another full day of content prepared for you today. So have a good rest of your day. Have a great open, everyone. It's Friday. Stay green. I'll see you all later. See you on the Cannabis Conference.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.